All right, so I'm going to read you just a little bit from the jacket that makes this book sound more intriguing. Okay. let's see. The author, I'm just kind of dropping in here in the middle. The author provides Jews from the unschooled in Torah to the Talmudic scholar definitive answers to questions and challenges by Christian friends, relatives, co-workers. In addition, Jews desperately need an easy to understand yet comprehensive resource to understand and reject the claims of so-called Messianic Jews, see, who specifically target Jews for conversion. So-called Messianic Jews are a particular problem because they often use highly deceptive practices. They falsely claim that it is possible to be both a Jew and a Christian. Leaders of a so-called so-called Messianic synagogues pretend to be rabbis, but are usually ordained Christian ministers. Or not. They deceitfully wear and utilize Jewish symbols and mimic Jewish services while worshiping Jesus. There are now 100 Messianic synagogues in 30 states and an additional 15 in foreign countries. That's a conservative estimate, I would say. No, that's trying to diminish. You know, it's like trying to deny the problem. Anyway, Asher Norman is a lawyer, an Orthodox Jew, an expert on Jewish-Christian polemics. He has lectured nationally on this subject for several years. He utilizes his legal training to put Christianity's faith claims about Jesus on trial. Okay, it's a good book. Run some good arguments. We probably won't be able to answer all of them. At least, we probably won't be able to answer all of them satisfactorily. It's not necessary to answer every question satisfactorily. Because if we were to turn the tables and suppose, pretend that we were atheists, for example, and turn the tables and say, now, Mr. Norman, we're going to pose the same questions to you by the same criteria, with the same sort of rigid analysis regarding Judaism itself, Mr. Norman would not be able to answer all of our questions. So what I'm saying is that as a faith, there is not necessarily going to be something that can be logically, empirically consistent across the board all the time. For one thing, these are ancient religions that we're dealing with. And ancient religions in the light of the modern era sometimes look ancient, you know? So we might not be able to answer every question. We might not be able to answer every objection. And I certainly know that we won't be able to prove that the faith of the New Testament is completely consistent with modern Judaism. It certainly is not. That's not our objective, because that would be an anachronism in the first place. Our objective, if we can do this, to prove that our faith is consistent with first century Judaism, with the expectation of first century Judaism, then we'll be doing okay. It would be ridiculous for us, for example, to have to go and pull a tractate off that shelf, a tractate of Talmud, and look into it and say, well, look at the halakha of Rabbi Meir here. Obviously, that's not the halakha. Rabbi Meir must be a heretic. You know, nobody would do that. They say, oh, this can't be true because we know what the halakha is and Rabbi Meir wasn't doing it. Nobody would do that. They'd say, yeah, but that was Meir, and that was like 1,800 years ago or something, right? 1,900 years ago. Well, we have to treat the New Testament with the same kind of respect that we would treat any ancient literature. So this is going to hopefully be different than my regular classes, because it's the green room. I chose the green room so that we can have more discussion. All right? But we're going to jump right into the material. What I've done is I create a little outline for you of reason number one and reason number two. And with God's help, and not too much discussion, we'll get through two reasons a night, which would make this a 13-week class, which is a long class for anything. So we'll give it a run, though. Okay. So reason number one. that Jews don't believe in Jesus. Reason number one is Christianity is not completed Judaism, and the two religions are not theologically compatible. Okay, what does it mean by Christianity is not completed Judaism? Have you ever heard the term a completed Jew?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Ann Coulter, first time.
Ann Coulter, that's right. That was embarrassing. Right. So it's a common terminology, especially in the Jewish evangelism movement. And here's the idea behind it. Let me explain. The idea is that if a Jewish person becomes a believer, they don't cease to be Jewish, they just become a completed Jew. Now, when you say this to someone who's not a believer, a Jewish believer, or a Jewish person that's not a believer, that sounds condescending. It really does. Because the implication is that, oh, I see. I'm an incomplete Jew. You're a complete Jew, and I'm an incomplete Jew. But it wasn't intended to be condescending, the term. Here's what the term meant. At that time, in Jewish-Christian relationships, Jews who became Christians were considered to no longer be Jewish. They were Christians now. And so there was this radical idea that, well, and this starting around the turn of the century, the 19th century, the beginning of the 20th century, there's this radical idea that, well, you're still Jewish and you can still practice Jewish things. It's not as if you quit being Jewish when you become a believer. After all, you know, the apostles were Jewish. You know, so this was kind of a progressive idea. And so there was this desire to want to communicate to Jewish people that you're still Jewish. And so this was a way of saying that. Now, Asher Norman objects to the terminology, because what his objection is not that it sounds condescending, though it does. His objection is that you're no longer Jewish if you're a Christian. It's no longer Judaism, at any rate, if you're a Christian, because Christianity contradicts Judaism on virtually every major issue. Is this true?
No.
Give me an example of an issue where Christianity, a major issue where Christianity does not contradict Judaism.
God.
Yeah, existence of God, the God of Israel. That God of Israel is the creator. That the Tanakh is his scriptures. That's some pretty major points, yes. That the greatest commandment is to love God. And the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor. You know, in fact, I would say on the major, major issues, such as monotheism and so on, these two religions are pretty close, actually, really close. But there is a lot of discrepancy as well. And more often than not, they're not just small things, they're big things. So here's a quotation. He says, he has eight points proving that Christianity does not complete Judaism. It contradicts it on virtually every major issue. Number one, the nature of God's salvation program for Jews and for the world. What is it? Believe in Jesus or keep the commandments. Okay, so he says there's two different ideas. Christianity teaches salvation comes by believing in Jesus. Judaism teaches salvation comes by keeping the commandments. All right. We need to, before we pursue that, maybe we should determine what we mean by terminology. Jacob Neusner talks about one of the problems with any kind of dialogue like this between Judaism and Christianity is that these two religions have the same terminology but different definitions for the terms. So it's often like they're talking over each other's heads, right?